Welcome to Lessons in Leadership, Steve Adubato with my colleague, Mary Gamba. Hey, Mary, we have a first-time guest, will not be the last time, a real leader in the world of healthcare, part of our Leaders in Healthcare series. It is my honor to introduce Opeyemi Oluwole, who is, in fact, Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer at Hackensack Meridian Health. Opey, good to see you.
Nice to see you, Steve and Mary. Thanks for having me today.
You got it. Opey, we met each other a while back. You've been the Chief Marketing Officer, one of the top leaders at HMH, one of our longtime partners. We've been in a whole range of meetings talking about the importance of helping healthcare leaders, coaching healthcare leaders to be the best, most impactful communicators they can be, sometimes in challenging situations. Isn't that organic and natural, Opey? And why the heck do we have to coach it?
It is incredibly important to resonate with the audiences who you're speaking with. The natural place for experts to go is what feels most comfortable to them. Often jargon seeps in, but what really is important is when speaking to your audience, that audience could be a consumer audience, physicians, students, educators, other institutions, or donors, it's incredibly important to understand what motivates them and what will make them take the action or bring them along the journey. And oftentimes, finding an anchor or place for something that is human, that they can connect with, can open the door to them listening and hearing what you have to say.
Opey, first of all, Mary, let's bottle that because that's it right there. Opey, I'm curious about this. Your leadership journey to becoming a major top-level executive at HMH and the healthcare world overall, how the heck did you learn what you just said? Because I coach and work with a lot of folks at top-level executive positions who think it's about them. You just made it clear it ain't about you. It's about them. It's not about me. It's about them. Yeah. How did you learn that?
It's been a journey. I think it's core to marketing. Marketing is science, behavior change, data, and a little bit of art. And I think for me personally, I've been on a journey over my 25-plus year career where getting to a place where purpose-driven marketing is what really inspires and motivates me, which is why I sit where I am today. Mm-hmm. My role is more than just a job. It truly is a purpose. And I'll give you a little bit of background behind that. About 3 or 4 years ago, my son became critically ill. When I was going through that, I was at the most vulnerable point. I was looking for hope. I needed people around me who I could trust to help me get through what was an incredibly difficult time. So if I take that and I pivot and I look at our audiences, the reason why we exist as a network is to serve our patients and the communities and provide them with hope, provide them with trust. And the best place to get inspiration as a marketer is to look at the environment around you. So I think for me, it's been a journey of experiences over my 25-year career, which I would say one of the biggest inflection points was going through that experience with my son and knowing that not only am I a marketer, I'm also a mother, I'm also a human being, and healthcare is something that everybody experiences at one level or another. And being able to translate that and bring that into the job that I do every day is so important.
So well said. Mary.
And Opey, you talk about being aware of the world around you when you talk about your 25-year career. I am also in my 25th year, and so much has changed. Innovation, artificial intelligence, especially the past couple of years. Can you talk about a little bit about artificial intelligence in marketing? How has that changed your approach to making sure that you are really reaching the key audiences that you're looking to connect with?
Wonderful question. I feel like we're at such an exciting inflection point in marketing today. In my career, there have been three. The dot-com era, we all remember, at the turn of at Y2K and all the dot-com companies. Then COVID. COVID changed everything in terms of how we as consumers shop, how we digest information, like groceries. We order them for the most part today, right? Now, with the advent of AI in 2022, this is another big inflection point. And McKinsey actually said that the part of many industries that will be most affected by this new inflection point is marketing and sales, in the tune of more than $2.3 trillion in additional value brought into businesses by using AI. So I look at AI really as not just a shiny new toy, but as something that's solving problems and making life easier for the people around us. So I'll give you a few examples about how it's coming into play in marketing. So in order to break through to consumers, you have to be where they are to communicate to them. A big part of the way that consumers search and find information is on Google. Google has used AI to fundamentally change the way people search for information. So search is exactly what it used to be, where people you put in something and you go searching through many, many
Right.
websites. Today, they are providing the answer to you right up there in AI overviews. You're no longer searching, they're surfacing up answers. This has fundamentally changed the way us as marketers are providing our content and information. For us to show up in AI overviews, we really need to be able to come off as the experts, as credible, so that we are the ones being featured. Healthcare has actually been one of the most impacted in terms of AI overviews. About 84% of healthcare searches are now provided in summaries at the top of your Google search. So we are fundamentally evolving how we provide content. I would say the other big part is driving efficiency into the work that we do. So a big example from a media perspective, we are now, as like newsrooms are very, very lean. There are AI tools that provide marketplaces where if you upload your information on there, it's basic as a public relations expert, it's pushing your information out. The platform is determining who is the most credible source. And now you have reached beyond what you could have before, where you were basically building relationships. Huge efficiency for the team. And then the final thing is moving to personalize up from personalization to true individualized recommendations for consumers.
Wow. You just gave a tutorial about not just the use of AI in marketing, but the use of AI overall. But one last question, Ope. I've worked with many members of your team in my leadership and communication coaching at HMH. And I'm curious about this. You have a team that's strong personalities, strong leaders. How could the succinctly, if you could, describe your quote leadership style? And I know it's situational to some degree, but overall, what is it?
I would say the thing that summarizes my leadership style, two words: collective impact and trust. Building trust with my team, where I have their back, number one. And number two, they feel free to fail and they know they can fail in a safe space because innovation comes from the ability to take risks and fail. And providing them with the necessary coaching and support wherever they need me. I think having very clear, purposeful objectives where everybody is marching to the beat of the same drum really helps build a team that has collective impact where we're all driving joint business results.
So well said. Ope, thank you not only for joining us on Lessons in Leadership, but for being a partner and trusting us along with the team at HMH to do the leadership and communication coaching we do. We look forward to working together in the future. Thank you, Ope. All the best.
Thank you so much, Steve and Mary. Have a great
You
day.
got it. You got it. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Delta Dental of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, showing the world what great minds can do since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA, and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ, and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media. Leadership in the dental community. What an important segment. We're joined by good friend Paul DeMeo, President and CEO, Delta Dental in New Jersey. Dr. Melista Best is the principal at Patterson Steam High School, and also Yana Zeidel, who's coordinator of dental services at Patterson Steam High School. Thank you so much for joining us, team.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you,
Steve. Hey, Paul, put this in context. Delta Dental, our longtime partner, talking about oral health, leadership in the field of oral health, but also Delta Dental has this initiative with the Patterson Public Schools, specifically the Patterson Steam High School, to do what, Paul?
Well, we've had a longstanding relationship with the Patterson School District. It's been great. We've had over 25 years where we've contributed to their various programs, whether it's supplies, funding the dentist. But more recently, last year, we started and granted the district a $75,000 grant over 3 years to help them with their Smile Bright program, which is to educate dental assistants. There's a great shortage in the industry right now and for hygienists and dental assistants. And our mission is to make care access. And that includes both on the patient side, but also on the provider side, to make providers available. And there's been a crisis in that in the field in getting hygienists as well as assistants. So we matched up our commitment, their abilities and their commitment, and fostered their grant to educate students to go into the field of dental assistants.
So it's interesting, as Paul lays this out, Dr. Best, it's not just talking about a problem, it's just not complaining about a problem, it's taking the lead and making a difference. What has been the impact of the Delta Dental Initiative at the high school? Dr. Best?
Yes, thank you for that question. I'd like to start by telling you a little bit about our program. At Patterson Steam High School, we combine strong academics with career technical education. So the support that the grant is providing us is allowing us to open doors and actually innovate and expand and extend our existing curriculum. We offer four exciting career pathways to our students. We offer medical arts, computer science, environmental sustainability, as well as engineering. And for example, our medical arts pathway, we have the opportunity to offer our students certification in CPR, EKG and phlebotomy. And now with the partnership with Delta Dental, we're able to offer certifications in dental assistance. So we're opening doors for students in a way that has not been opened prior.
That's so powerful. Yana, let me ask you, you're very close to this. You're operating and leading day to day. What do you see in these students in terms of the not only the opportunities presented to them, but the possibilities for their futures? Yana?
The students are very, very interested in dental assisting and in different careers in dentistry. Right now, I have six students who are interested to pursue a dental career in colleges. I think it's a great help to them and to the dentistry, to the field of dentistry.
Well, why? Let me ask you, as a CEO, you and I have talked about this offline with Dennis, also your predecessor, and your whole team. We talk about leadership, we talk about all kinds of things. But let me ask you this. I'm curious. Your primary job is, at least as I see it, as a CEO of an organization, is our bottom line. It's not our primary job, but if the bottom line is off, is it fair to say, Paul, that nothing else works? If the numbers don't work, we have a problem, correct?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's a sort of a pat saying that no money, no mission. We compete, frankly, in the commercial space against very, very tough competition. We punch above our weight. We're not a big company, but we do very well in our markets in New Jersey and Connecticut, and we're proud of that. But we've also always had in our as a nonprofit, always had as a sort of a beacon is giving access to oral health care. We started the foundation many, many, many years ago. I think it's donated up to almost $30 million over the last 30 or so years. We are always looking to expand access to care for people, particularly in vulnerable populations. And in this particular case, it happens to be matching up with our recent interest to address the shortage in the dental
That's
industry
right.
for assistance and hygienists. So it really matches our commitment. We know that Patterson has had a long-standing commitment to students in general and to healthcare and other issues in particular, particularly in oral health. So it was really kind of a combination of our focus, our interest, their commitment, and their ability to execute. I think it's important for me to point out we call this a SMILE grant, and that is a very specific term. You know, it's a solution-based, it's measurable and impactful, it's got longevity, and there's execution involved. And those are the guidelines that our board, our foundation board reviews when they're deciding whether to provide grant money. And this group under Nelista and Yana have just done a remarkable job over the years in evidencing that they know and understand those very important objectives, such that we feel confident that we have a great partner.
Yeah, speaking of partnerships, I also want to disclose that, Paul talks about, I ask about bottom line. Yeah, no money, no mission. He's right. But the other part of it is that, and I'm not going to turn this into a commercial for Delta Dental, but the fact is, every year, the other initiative I'm very involved in, aware of, is I host and MC an annual golf outing that brings in a lot of money for Special Olympics of New Jersey. They don't have to do that. They choose to do that. Why are you worried about the bottom line? You're also worried about the bottom line for not-for-profit organizations, for public schools. Dr. Best, let me ask you this. As a leader in the field of education, what is it like to have a corporation say, we want to partner? Because I'm big into partnerships and collaboration and things you can't do alone that you need others to do to make things happen. What has it meant to you as an educational leader to have this partnership with a corporation and a foundation that clearly cares?
It's monumental for us. You know, as a small learning community, we see ourselves as the little engine that could. We know that schools such as ourselves, we're limited for resources, and we cannot do this work alone. So to be recognized in such a generous way, it aligns with our mission and our vision for our students. We're not only providing education, but we're providing an education that only validates that not only validates our students' potential, but it amplifies their voices, and it also positions them in a way to go beyond what they thought was even possible. And it goes without saying how much this means to us. Opening doors is just opening doors into dental assistant is just the beginning for our students. For them to see themselves in the career and even in the career field of medicine is one that we don't take lightly. And so for us, accountability is purpose, and we are really grateful for the
That's
opportunity.
awesome. Yeah, let me ask you this last question. So in these students, what I'm curious about is, do they self-select? Do they put their hand up, Yana, and say, I want to be part of this program? Do you pick them? What, how does that work?
No, they self-select. They self-select. They want to come. And we have way too many students who wants to come, and we want to open more classes.
Wait a minute, the demand is, hold on one second, I'm gonna be clear. The demand for the Delta Dental program is greater than what you could even
Correct.
do. Wow.
Yes. Yes.
I guess we have work to do.
Okay. But what's that like for you to hear that there's the, sometimes people have a grant and nobody, man, no interest. There's a lot of interest here. Paul, your reaction to that?
No, that's great to hear. And it's great to see that. Now, again, I'm not joking. We have work to do. If there's other ways to increase this program within our resources, we certainly are interested in doing that. So it's really great to hear. I think it's important. This is a particular sort of industry where we need to get to the kids early, need to make them aware of these opportunities, and they will take advantage of them because they are good, they are challenging. And they help people. And many times these students stay in the community to provide a great community benefit for everyone. So it really does work out for everyone.
And just imagine if someone says, well, there are six kids, there are eight students. Those are six or eight families. Those are futures that are brighter. It's economic development for a community. It's, as Paul said, people staying in a community, paying taxes. It's huge. So to Paul, to Dr. Best, to Yana, I cannot thank you enough for sharing a positive, impactful initiative made possible by friends at Delta Dental. Thank you all. Wish you all the best.
Thank you all. Thanks,
Thank you.
Steve. Nalista,
You
Yana,
got
thanks very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You got it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA, and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ, and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
A dream is just a dream until your ambition ignites it. Pursuing your legacy takes drive, resilience, and a financial partner who not only sees your vision for your future, but who will go all in with you and focus your ambitions for what you hunger to achieve next.
It is time for another Lessons in Leadership mini. Mary, why do we call them mini seminars?
They are mini seminars because I don't know what else to call them.
But they're
No.
short, concise.
They're short, concise. There's pithy. For anyone that does Wordle, I use pithy every day because I know that word has not been used yet in the Wordle game. But I like to say that they're short sound bites that people can learn a lot from.
And you know where else Mary learned the word pithy? AI, artificial intelligence. How do you
I
like
learned
that?
it from you.
This is a segment called Artificial AI in or and AI in leadership. Mary, let's go. Here's some bullet points. Here's the number one I'm going to go with. Trial and error and learn. Trial and error and learn. Mary, who pushed me recently to start mucking around and messing? It was you and one of our good friends.
It was me and someone showed you the app. Who was
It was
that?
Greg Lalavie over at
Well, Greg Lalavie, if
24/7.
you're watching, if not, I'll make sure to share this. Thank you, I think, for showing Steve that app because I'll get the call. All right, I did an AI search. How do I print this? And I'm like,
I did.
well,
Yeah, hold on. But that's the trial and error. I was
that's
looking,
the trial and error.
I was doing something on leadership and trust. And I put, what are the keys to trust and leadership or, whatever? And it started saying things. And then I said, and then it said, well, do you want to try this? I go, yeah, I'll try that. And then I go, Mary, I got a lot of information. How do I print it? And trial and error and learn. Why is that important?
It's so important, especially for any of us that are over 50. We were alive when the internet happened. We were alive when Gmail, it came into existence, all of that. So AI, we need to, number one, embrace it, but we need to be patient, learn, try. There really are no mistakes that you could make in terms of what you're putting into AI.
Next bullet, confront AI or it confronts you. What the heck does that mean, Mary?
AI is all around us. So we always knew it. If you shopped at Amazon or if you go on Google and you did a search, things magically appeared. So artificial intelligence has been around for a really long time. But now what's happening is it is now being used for other ways. And we're using it for proposal writing, we're using it for letter writing, and just using it to maybe deal with an issue that you may be having with a coworker. So you need to definitely embrace it because it's going to be here whether we embrace it or not.
All right, this is interesting. I heard Mary just said Mary has been using AI for proposal writing, but here's the next bullet point because it involves this. AI is helpful, dot, 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 but not the entire solution. Mary, meaning AI can help you with that proposal, but there's a lot of customizing and personalizing that AI ain't gonna do.
That
Talk
is
about.
so true. Yeah, that is so true. So AI will give you what it thinks you want to hear. It will always give you an answer, whether it knows it or not. So that's why there's something called AI hallucinations, where AI, perfect example, I put in, I want to take a trip to Ireland. It will give me a trip and an itinerary, but it doesn't know that I really can't get from Dublin to Shannon in a half an hour. So it will always give you an answer, and it doesn't always know if it's right. So you always need to trust but verify.
Hold on one second. The trip to Ireland is not what was on my mind, but I do work know where you're going. How about this? I put into AI, we're dealing with every leader is dealing with some challenge. And Mary knows there's a major challenge we're facing that's daunting and big. And I literally put in there, hey, ChatGPT, how do I solve my problem regarding X? I did, I actually did, Mary. And X is X a big thing?
Fill in the blank. Yes, that is a big issue, challenge. Yes.
And here's what happened. AI started asking a bunch of questions, and I was looking for the answer. So here's my point. Next bullet. As a leader, you must drive the AI process and not let AI drive you. Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense. You said it better than I could right
Because I
there.
was looking for the answers, and AI was saying, you need to give us more. And I'm
Yeah.
realizing you can't push a button and get an answer. All right. Last bullet point. You ready?
Ready.
AI does replace certain functions of people. I'm afraid to say that, Mary, but it's true. But does
It
it?
is true, but that doesn't mean that you still don't need people to make sure that AI is doing the right thing. You need people in tech, IT, and the people that are putting things into AI. Sure, things are going to get more automated. That's what I said before. Everything is getting more automated when you check out at a supermarket. So artificial intelligence is just that. It's things that are going to make our lives more efficient, more effective, and just hopefully make our lives a little bit easier.
Okay, so here's what I think that bullet is. I'm struggling with this. AI replaces tasks, dot, 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 but hopefully not people.
Bingo.
Fingers
That's
crossed.
it.
And by the
Drop
way,
the mic.
I'm going to drop my Yankee ball. Here it is. Ow. Okay. For Mary, Steve, myself, Elvin, Frank, the entire team, we thank you so much for watching. This is the Lessons in Leadership. That was a mini seminar. Hey, Mary, I wonder if AI can replace me. And now I'm getting scared. See you next time. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Bucino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Delta Dental of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, showing the world what great minds can do since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
A dream is just a dream until your ambition ignites it. Pursuing your legacy takes drive, resilience, and a financial partner who not only sees your vision for your future, but who will go all in with you and focus your ambitions
for what you hunger to achieve next.